This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Little deep cut from Paul McCartney here. I'll put it on the Spotify playlist. I've been putting that up on the X, formerly Twitter, every night. I've been doing the playlist for the bumper music for a couple of years now, but I just started doing the Spotify playlist because the audience, ladies and gentlemen, they just demanded it. There were three people out there that thought it was a good idea, so I went with it. But it is kind of fun for me to do the music, and I put a lot of new music on there. And if you're ever curious about a song, you can always go to the list or to the Spotify playlist that I'll post at the end of the show. So we have Jennings coming up here. Scott Jennings will join us. We'll talk some national politics. We'll also talk about a controversy involving adult Easter bunnies that I'm very passionate about, and I know that Scott is as well. But let me address a couple of things here, and one is the topic we're going to talk about here in the next segment, which is kind of amazing. You have a bill in Colorado where misgendering your child could lose you custody. There's a bill that would make not using a child's preferred name or pronouns a factor in custody battles. It's kind of ridiculous, and we're going to talk about it here at the bottom of the hour with Colin Wright, who wrote about this in the Manhattan Institute. But when they were talking about this in the legislature in Colorado, so that you have someone who I'm guessing is a Republican, who maybe he's not even a Republican, but he starts to interject here with the bill's sponsors and says, look, I didn't really know much about that. He's answering questions. But listen to what the response is here.
We'd heard from multiple witnesses that this bill has been worked on for over a year. I will say I learned about this bill yesterday. It was introduced Friday evening. I really am curious about how much stakeholdering went on both sides of the issue. And if parent groups that are not a part of the LGBT community, if they were involved.
All right, so let's stop there with the question. It seems like a pretty basic question. He's saying, look, I didn't know much about this. I just read the bill. But I'm curious as to whether the stakeholders, like people who don't support this bill, all right, you have the Alphabet Mafia. Let me translate here a little bit. The Alphabet Mafia loves this bill, right? We know that you talk to them. Have you talked to any parents who don't love this bill? And listen to the way that they frame this.
Well-stakeholdered bill does not need to be discussed with hate groups. And we don't ask someone passing civil rights legislation to go ask the KKK their opinion.
But I agree. There's no reason to go to the table with people who are echoing the hateful rhetoric going around about the trans community.
So did you hear that? Do you know what they just said? They basically said that parents, if you're a parent in Colorado or wherever, and you're concerned about the trans nonsense and the social contagion and the mental illness that it has become, that you're a hate group. You're now a hate. It's unbelievable how crazy these people are. And I really deep down want to believe it's not all people on the left, but sometimes I wonder. And then let me kind of segue before we get to Scott here, and Ethan's going to get him on the line, to Liberation Day. I'm calling it Liberation Day for the city of St. Louis because it is Election Day, and it is looking very likely that Tashara is going to go down. She's going to probably drop the wig and blame racism and, you know, misogynistic behavior and all this other stuff. She'll never, ever accept responsibility for really tearing this city down. Now, I've made it very clear. I do not let the previous mayor off the hook. Lida Crewson was awful, just awful. And she came in a time in the aftermath of Mayor Slay where she really could have made a difference. She could have supported the police, but she was a coward, even though her own husband was murdered, which makes it even more despicable. But then Tashara's in office, and Cori Bush and Kim Gardner, the Wicked Witches, all come in. And the first thing, let's remind people, the first thing that they did, do you remember this? The very first weekend after they were all elected, they go to the workhouse. They go to the prisoners and the inmates. And that's, I mean, this set the tone for the entire administration. Let's not talk to the people who are victims of crime in the city of St. Louis. Let's talk to the criminals. Let's make them more comfortable. That's what this entire administration started on, and it never got any better because she never did anything. Well, that's, of course, because she's a black woman, and she's not given the freedom to make mistakes like Whitey. I cannot wait for these election results to come in tonight. I can't wait to see her reaction. I can't wait to see Virus Jones's reaction. I love that Jane Duker calls Virvis her father, Virus. And let's just hope that Kara Spencer can do better. And let me address something there, because I've had many people on the ex-formerly Twitter say, yeah, you're trading one socialist for another. While that is true, and she is progressive, I just have to hope deep down that the basics can be attended to. Trash pickup, the streets, not having gates around City Hall and Pelker Park, getting more police present, actually supporting the police. Now, I can't be certain that Kara Spencer is going to do all these things. I do think she's smart. I think she is hyper-focused on St. Louis. I've mentioned this before. She was on the roundtable one time, and she was terrible because she didn't know anything about the national issues. Now, as mayor of St. Louis, maybe that's what you want, right? Someone who is a bit of a policy wonk. Am I under the, the impression that Kara Spencer is going to remarkably come into office and be this unbelievable leader that's going to turn the city of St. Louis around? I do not feel that way, but I'm going to root for her, and this is why. I don't think that there is a more important election, this is easy to say, I think we said it in the fall with Trump, than this one in St. Louis, because, and I think we're feeling pretty good, because if it went in the other direction, there would be no hope. No hope whatsoever for progress, for economic development, for successes in this city. We have some successes that are taking place, and some good things, but they're always hampered by the negative stuff that go on. And I would hope that Kara Spencer is going to go in there and not make excuses and show some leadership. Now, I've been told by people who know her that she's a bit of a micromanager. That will not work as mayor. But I just have to hope and pray that things are going to be a lot better under the next administration. But let's not count our chickens yet. You still have to go out and vote. We'll get the totals tonight. It is the city of St. Louis, so maybe we won't even have finals until tomorrow afternoon. I'm kind of kidding. You would think that this wouldn't take too much time because there's only several thousand votes. Nobody's going to vote in an election like this anyway. And best of luck to Donna Behringer, who's running against Darlene Green, and that would be a big victory as well. All right, Scott Jennings coming up here, but I have to go back to a CNN segment. We featured this during Cut of the Day yesterday because Jennings took a strong stand, and I support this, on banning adult Easter bunnies.
The limit, okay.
Okay. Scott Jennings.
Major problem, human-sized Easter bunnies.
Yeah.
It is the season. And look, I think if you want, they're demonic.
And
I know parents like to have their children photographed with these human-sized demonic Easter bunnies. I counsel against it. If you want to show them a regular-sized rabbit, fine. The Cadbury bunny is fine, and I'll even make an exemption for Playboy bunnies. But human-sized Easter bunnies, out. They're right out.
They're terrifying.
Terrible. You only have 2 weeks to make your plans. Easter's coming. Eliminate this from your photo regimen. Do not traumatize your children.
Absolutely no Playboy bunnies. Okay, I am sorry, but that is out. We're out.
I said exemption.
Yeah, I approve of the Playboy bunny carve-out. Scott Jennings with us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm great. Greetings from your nation's capital today.
You know, I had to start with the Easter bunny stuff because I sent you this picture. When my daughter was a year old, she sat on an adult-sized Easter bunny's lap, and it was horrifying. It's one of the funniest pictures that we've ever taken, really.
It literally makes no sense. Why would a rabbit be the size of a human? And it does. I mean, and why would that something the size of a human be laying eggs? Like, this makes no sense to me, and it's demonic. And so what I have called for is a complete and total ban on human-sized Easter bunnies. There's plenty of other normal-sized bunnies or useful bunnies that we can engage with, but that's not one of them.
Do you know, I don't even know if you know this about me, I sometimes keep it quiet. Do you know that I have a bunny, like a free-roaming bunny in my house here?
I did not know that, but see, that's fine. Yeah. I think that would be fine.
Oh, he's awesome. It's Oreo. He has his own Instagram page, Oreo Smorio the Bunny. Now, Jennings, where are you on, you know, inflatables?
Wait, like, does it go to like, does it like go to the bathroom in a litter box or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's totally litter trained. One rule I have, you can't poop or pee in my house with my animals. But yeah, he's totally litter trained. It's awesome. He's great. I've had him for a year.
Wow.
This weekend,
okay.
I've had him for a year, Jennings. I never thought I'd have a free roaming bunny. I really didn't, but I would highly recommend them. Now, where are you on the issue of inflatables, like Easter bunny inflatables in front of people's houses?
We have inflatables for every holiday at the Jennings household. So in front of my house right now, we actually have an inflatable chicken that has like Easter eggs on the top of it. A lot of our inflatables are chicken themed because of our chicken farming operation. So in this case, we went with Easter chicken.
I approve of that. All right, let's talk about something you said last night. Look, a lot of people are focusing on the markets right now.
I find it amusing that everybody talks about the 08 crash and the COVID. No one ever mentions that in 2022, you know, the S&P was down 20, the NASDAQ was down 33, and I don't remember any of these Democrats being in hysterics when the market fully crashed in 2022. So I think Republicans are content. Well,
how could you highlight more hypocrisy, Scott Jennings? That seems unfair.
Oh, and at the time, remember what they were all saying. Well, you know, the stock market doesn't represent the economy. The stock market isn't indicative of all the structural strength in our economy. That was the talking point at the time. Now, the market goes down for, you know, 30 minutes, and Democrats are out on television having a meltdown about how we're now in the next Great Depression. I mean, it really is hypocrisy. And you pile on top of that all these Dems who right now are talking about how bad tariffs are, and how it's terrible to raise taxes. Well, I'm sorry. Every single one of you voted against the corporate income tax rate cut. Every single one of you have been trying to raise corporate income taxes for years. Every single one of you have been desperate for tax increases until now when you're against tariffs. So that's why I proposed Trump saying that he should zero out the capital gains tax and maybe even cut in half the corporate income tax rate. You got these Democrats who've found all their low tax and free market bona fides. Mark, how about we put it to the test and see if they'll go along with us on
Well, I love that. But beyond that, who in the Democrat Party, and, you know, they were covered by the legacy media, unfortunately, was talking about the fact that everyone's taxes would go up. Under Kamala Harris, everyone's taxes would have gone up because they would not have renewed the Trump tax cuts.
Yes, they were literally running on an increase in every single person that pays federal income tax would have seen a tax increase. And that was their plan. And they called it paying your fair share. That's what they called it. You pay your fair share. And so I really do think that's why Democrats are struggling to stick the landing on the tariff debate with Trump, because the hypocrisy is so obvious and it's so real. And I still think Trump has a lot of latitude from the American people to try to do something different, because the status quo just frankly wasn't working for a lot of Americans. They inherently and instinctively know that, and they trust Trump more than they trust Democrats on the issue.
So you're no doubt experiencing some things on the CNN set where you have people that will say, wait a second, he promised this to happen right away. I have friends that are texting me, you know, because they're in panic mode. I will admit that I'm a bit of a panickin, as Trump said, when it comes to the market, Scott, just because I've been uneasy about the economy overall. And by the way, I could take Trump out of the mix just based on the way that last year ended. So how do you see this tariff situation moving forward? Because it does seem like there's some mixed messages from the administration. Are they negotiation points? Are they permanent? Thoughts on that?
Well, I first of all, I think their best messenger is the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent. And I think above all others, he's the one I listen to. And what is he saying today? We've got 70 plus countries that are calling up desperate to talk to the United States about striking a deal. So that tells me there are negotiations underway. That includes countries like Japan and Vietnam, you know, big trading partners of ours. So that's number one. Number two, on the markets, you know, we have had market fluctuation over time. The market was due for a correction anyway. I think everybody acknowledges that.
Yep.
Market goes up, market goes down. And so I think it's just folly to try to knee-jerk your, you know, fiscal policy based on a 1 week or a 1 day or even a 3 month period in the stock market. And what Trump is trying to do here is something broad, global, and structural about giving the United States better advantages when it comes to trading with these other countries. we'll see how it shakes out. You know, they got to chat with 70 plus countries, probably more by the time, you know, the afternoon gets out here. We'll see how it shakes out. Ultimately, the major message is we have to align ourselves against China. That's the true enemy. China's the enemy, and they've made a huge mistake, I think, by trying to engage and with us on a trade war. And we need to get the rest of the world to, A, recognize that we'd like to be treated fairly, and B, we should all work together to stop the true enemy, which is China. That's where Bessent has been on it in his public messaging, and I think that's where the administration really ought to continue to be, because Americans instinctively know China's the bad guy. We need to align against China.
What do you make of the Peter Navarro, Elon Musk dust-up?
Well, you know, I'm pro-Elon. I love Elon. And I think Navarro actually said some things that were completely untrue about Teslas. He was talking about how they're made of all these foreign parts. Teslas are actually the most American-made car. There was just a survey out on this where some publication looked at every component that goes into every car. The most American-made car is Tesla. And so Navarro was completely wrong about that, and he insulted Elon and insulted the Teslas, and of course Elon struck back. So, I wish they wouldn't fight publicly, because I think it undermines the president. But in this case, I think Elon was right and Navarro was wrong.
Scott Jennings back with us this afternoon. So the president got a couple of victories here in court today, one on the deportation issue on the Alien Enemies Act. But now you have, a lot of the MAGA crowd is very concerned about Amy Coney Barrett. She dissented in that case. What do you think about that?
I know. Look, and she dissented in a case earlier this year, and Trump actually came out and said, oh, she's a smart lady, and kind of defended her. And I'm going to defend her, too. I actually think this was a procedural case, and she had some, I think, procedural concerns about what was going on here. So I guess I don't share those concerns that she's some sort of secret lib or whatever. I still think Donald Trump made a great choice when he put her on the Supreme Court. And, the thing about these justices is you hire them for these jobs to look at each individual case and look at the law and look at the Constitution. We shouldn't treat the conservative judges the way Democrats treat theirs. I mean, they put theirs on. I mean, those people don't read anything. I mean, they're there to vote a certain way, and they know what the job is. We put ours there to strictly adhere to the Constitution and use their best judgment. Occasionally, that means you're going to end up voting in a way that your own side doesn't like. So I'm not concerned about her, and I am happy that Trump won that case 5-4, and they can continue to use the Alien Enemies Act, which was creative and novel, and I'm glad they're going to keep using it.
Have you read or will you read the book Fight by Jonathan Allen and Artie Parnes?
So I've seen some of the excerpts and some of the discussions of it. I'll probably look at it, although, as I expressed on television on Saturday, I do think it's amazing that some of the people who were, I think, sort of the worst defenders when it came to Joe Biden's incapacitation are now going to profit handsomely off of telling us how bad it really was. So that to me is a little bit distasteful. The one I'm actually really looking forward to reading is the book by my colleague at CNN, Jake Tapper, and Alex Thompson from Axios, who's also a CNN contributor. They've got a book coming out in May, and I think that's going to be the one to read, because if you really look at it, Alex especially was probably one of the first Washington reporters to be on top of the story about the cover-up that was going on inside Joe Biden's White House. And so I think, to me, that's the one I'm looking forward to.
Well, and I'll give you that on Thompson. But, man, your colleague Jake Tapper was not quite in that camp.
Well, I have to say, I'll defend Jake, because I do think he asked some questions along the way and made some comments along the way that indicated he knew the score. But Alex, I think, was maybe the first reporter to break this story. I remember talking about his stories on the air in my own commentary, saying, have you all read this guy, Alex Thompson? I mean, look at what he's got. And people just didn't want to believe it. And then I think he actually forced the rest of the press corps to pay attention to this vector. So I really do credit Alex a lot with, whatever information we had on Joe Biden's decline and the ensuing cover-up. I think a lot of it is thanks and due to the work of Alex Thompson.
But did you see, and I think this is coming from that Fight book, that I guess Tim Walz and Kamala were just shocked on election night that the election turned out the way that it did, that they were not prepared for that?
I think Democrats at the end of the election were telling themselves stories. They talked themselves into these things like, oh, the Puerto Ricans in Pennsylvania are mad. Oh, the pollsters in Iowa say, Trump is collapsing. Oh, we have Beyonce. Oh, we have Taylor Swift. They told themselves stories, anything to sort of change their focus from the true issues in the race. People were mad about inflation. They were mad about the economy. They were mad about immigration. All the things they were doing in October were just gimmicks to try to sort of lurch from one news cycle to the next. It was never real, but they started to believe it. And look, I've known a lot of candidates who were surprised on election night. I certainly was not surprised at the outcome of the race. I thought Trump was going to win. He did win. It didn't take all that long on election night. And I also think that kind of, you know, attitude shows you just how out of touch with the American people they were. They live in a bubble. And in their bubble, I'm sure they were quite popular, but among the population at large, not so much.
All right, now the tough, uncomfortable conversation. You sent a text this morning with the 2025 team ERAs, and on the text with the tweet that you sent, I didn't even see the St. Louis Cardinals. You had to press the tweet because we're last at 618, below the Brewers, below the Athletics, below Cleveland. Well, really below everyone, Jennings.
I'm shocked because I guess coming into the season, I was concerned we weren't going to hit, but the pitching might be good. I was worried we were going to lose a bunch of, you know, games like 3-1, 4-2. And instead, we're losing all these games. We're scoring runs and we're still losing. And so it's wild to me that we're hitting the way we're hitting. But man, this pitching staff right now is rough. And I don't know if they think it's a short-term blip here and it could stabilize, but man alive, we're giving up a lot of fireworks out there right now. This series in Boston was yikes.
It was brutal. Have you seen the stadium, though? Have you seen Busch Stadium? I mean, we look like Pittsburgh, yeah. Or, you know, Cincinnati this time of year.
It's awful. And you know, I as a lifelong Cardinals fan and somebody who wants to see the team do well, it breaks my heart because you used to turn on the TV and seeing the stadium full no matter what. And now the fans are obviously unhappy with the state of affairs. But this team, on the bright side, has some really good young hitters, obviously. And you know, these guys are playing hard. Well, you just really hope the pitching improves a little bit because it's gonna be a long season if we're giving up.
We got to stay positive because there's a lot of baseball left, and I need the entertainment. Our mutual friend Joe Arnold remains the eternal optimist. I don't know about that, Jennings.
I'm asking the White House to levy 104% tariffs on the Chicago Cubs immediately. I want them tariffed.
I love
into
it.
Oblivion.
tell your boy Axelrod that for sure.
Oh, he texts me every day. So early in the season, I was texting him the standings. Now every night I get a little chart of the standings from Axe. And so I'm about to block his number. I'm sick of getting it. I need the Cardinals to win a couple of games here because I hate getting these charts from Axelrod. It's driving me crazy.
I don't blame you. All right, Scott. Hey, thank you so much. As always, you have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Brian Kilmeade for his weekly visit tomorrow on 97.1 FM Talk. And I feel, Sue, like we're burying our fish fry promos because we're finally at the last one, and I need to mention...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're going to be in Millstone, Illinois, Ott's Tavern, this Friday with a full roundtable of live Sues News, and we're going to hang out in the 5 o'clock hour. We think that Congressman Boss might swing by for a visit, but we would love to see you. This is historic, ladies and gentlemen. It's our first fish fry stop in the state of Illinois. J.B. Pritzker has tried to ban us. We went to the Supreme Court. It was overruled. We're going to be able to be at Millstadt on Friday afternoon. I have promoted this particular story a couple times this afternoon because it's just one of those things that anyone with common sense, including many of you, if you're on the left, would say, are you kidding me? And Colin Wright has written about this. He is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, but he wrote about this in the City Journal. In Colorado, misgendering your child could lose you custody. It's a little complicated. We're going to explain it. But Colin, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
This is kind of nuts. We hear about these stories. You know, a lot of us here in St. Louis, we consider some of this ground zero on the so-called gender-affirming care because we had a big clinic here at Wash U and a whistleblower named Jamie Reed who brought all this a couple of years ago to the, you know, the top of the conversation. A lot of good things have happened since then, but apparently not in Colorado, right?
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of crazy stuff. I mean, I just testified on a bill a few weeks ago that was making it a jailable offense to misgender dead people on their death certificate. And so this is just this latest one that uses, you know, that would make misgendering or dead naming your son or daughter a form of coercive control and a deciding factor in custody disputes. You know, it's just sort of adding on to this layer of insanity that we see in Colorado.
Okay, but let me go back to the first layer that you mentioned, because this is quite something. Because this is a bill that you're telling me is on the desk of Governor Jared Polis, where you have death certificates which cannot, you know, misgender people, and that's going to be somehow against the law in Colorado?
Yeah, exactly. So the people who certified death certificates, if anyone in the family comes forward and says, you know, this person had wished to have been, you know, referred by this sex on the birth certificate, they use these pronouns in life, and you're required by law, it's about to be signed, it appears, to use the person's preferred pronouns or preferred sex on their death certificate. And as I made a point in the piece, you know, like death certificates, death records in general, these aren't like a tribute to someone's how they self-identified in life. Like these are used in public health data, you know, when we're looking at how people died. So adding this sort of error into death certificates really has effects on the living, you know, because we use this for public health stuff.
That is amazing. All right, so then that brings us to House Bill 251312, which would make dead naming and misgendering children, if you don't use their preferred name or pronouns, a factor in child custody disputes. So this is the Kelly Loving Act. Explain what's going on here, and is this something that also passed in Colorado?
Yeah, so this bill passed the House. It's going to move on to the Senate, and it's likely to pass the Senate because they have a pretty wide majority, and it's almost certainly going to get signed by Governor Polis if he gets it on his desk. So basically, this bill makes it so that when looking or in, when making child custody decisions in family court, it's going to look at whether one parent or the other has engaged in, you know, misgendering, as they say, so using a kid's pronouns that they don't self-identify with.
So for a real-life example, if I call Will Thomas Will Thomas, that's misgendering Will Thomas, right?
That would be dead-naming Will Thomas.
Yes, oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Will Thomas goes by Leah Thomas, but if you were to refer to Will Thomas as he or a man, then that would be the misgendering as well.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure we have all that clear. Yes.
Yeah. it's defining these as a term of coercive control, which is a form of like domestic abuse for your kids. So it's on par with like if you were to be hitting your child or something like that. Basically, misgendering and dead naming your kid is going to be lumped in the same category.
Now, Colin, was there any, this is where I kind of hope, because we do have common sense liberals, Democrats here in Missouri. Not many of them, but there are some, right? Were there any Democrats in Colorado that said, you know what, this is goofy? Because 90% of the American people think it's goofy, but we're still going to vote for it? That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah, every single Democrat that was able to vote on, I think it was 38, which is all of them voted for it, and a bunch of Republicans voted against it. I think only 8 Republicans sort of abstained from the vote. But every Democrat that was in the House in Colorado approved this bill.
All right,
so we'll see what the Senate says about it.
I want to play this audio. I played this earlier. This is fascinating. I think this is from the debate over this bill, but somebody raises a question in the legislature. You hear the conversation, then the two people at the end make this wild accusation here.
We'd heard from multiple witnesses that this bill has been worked on for over a year. I will say I learned about this bill yesterday. It was introduced Friday evening. I really am curious about how much stakeholdering went on both sides of the issue. And if parent groups that are not a part of the LGBT community, if they were involved.
A well-stakeholded bill does not need to be discussed with hate groups. And we don't ask someone passing civil rights legislation to go ask the KKK their opinion.
But I agree. There's no reason to go to the table with people who are echoing the hateful rhetoric going around about the trans community.
So, Colin, let's be very clear here. What they're saying is that parent groups outside of the alphabet mafia are hate groups. If you have a different perspective on this issue, which, by the way, is founded in science, then you're a member of a hate group. That is quite something, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyone who just disagrees or has a different view on this, which, as you mentioned, is the view of every systematic evidence review that has been conducted to date that has shown that gender-affirming care is not beneficial, and that social transitioning, using a kid's preferred pronouns and preferred name, this has a tendency of cementing a kid's gender dysphoria, making them less likely to desist and more likely to go on and take these cross-sex hormones that permanently change their body and pursue surgery. So anyone who disagrees with that whole thing is apparently the equivalent of the KKK, a Nazi, a hate group, et cetera. So, yeah, this is the type of rhetoric that is always used. I mean, they go straight to all the way at 11 when they make these accusations, because it's just a way of shutting down the other side immediately.
By the way, I want to mention this, and I did you a little bit of a disservice in the introduction, because part of your credentials, you're an evolutionary biologist. So you know a little bit about this from a scientific perspective.
I do, yeah.
Well, I think that's important to mention, and I love the way that you closed this column that was in City Journal, because what's happening here, and I don't even know if Colorado realizes, they're going exactly against where the rest of the country really is trending right now, but you said this is precisely the opposite of the truth. Kids with gender dysphoria and the parents who refuse to lie to them deserve better. This has been well documented. You look at the CAST report from overseas. Do the people in Colorado, are they just absolutely closing down their eyes to any of the evidence that's out there on this so-called gender-affirming care? Because it seems like they're ignoring everything.
they do ignore everything. They have their own set of journalists that report slanted views of all these things, that the cash review is this fundamentally flawed document. You know, these are the narratives they put forth. And this is an incredible disservice to the kids who are confused about their gender, who are caught up in this ideology. Because if you talk to people who have detransitioned, the kids who were transitioned, who had surgeries, who regret their decision, it's often a skeptical parent who, like, maintained a tether to reality that helped them get out of this mindset and eventually come to accept their bodies and live a healthy life, not as a, you know, a permanent medical patient, you know, who's going to be dependent on having external hormones for the rest of their lives or medical complications from surgeries that they underwent. So these parents who would have then been the ones that would have provided this buffer, this way for them to desist, they're now going to be considered the abusive parent, and they're more likely to lose custody in this new bill.
I want you to explain one more thing from the piece that I think is interesting, because you ask a very interesting question to people who support all this, and it involves this figure of 97.5% persistence after social transition. So first of all, explain what that means and then why your question is so important.
Yeah, because we know that before this idea of socially transitioning kids happens, which is using their preferred name, their preferred pronouns, dressing them up as the opposite sex or whatever sex they want to dress up as. We know that the kids who haven't gone through this, if you just let them grow up normally, about 80% of them tend to desist from a transgender identity naturally. And they'll end up, most of them go on to become just normal gay or lesbian adults, but otherwise totally healthy. But if you socially transition a kid, the moment that they adopt these new pronouns and names, if you affirm them and you say, you know what, your little boy is actually your little girl, this has a tendency of cementing this gender dysphoria. And about 97.5% of kids who are socially transitioned never desist, whereas 80% would if you had had left them alone and not socially transitioned them. So if anything is a form of coercive control or abuse or anything, it would be performing this extreme psychosocial intervention on kids that's essentially lying to them about basic biological reality and making them more likely to go on and pursue hormones and invasive surgeries at a very young age.
Well stated, Colin Wright. Thank you so much for writing about this, and I really appreciate you joining me here in St. Louis on 97.1 FM Talk. Good stuff. I appreciate it. Thanks, Colin.
Thank you.
Take care. We got audio cut of the day coming up next. This is a very well-timed song, Sue. Remember on Sue's News last week, we were talking about Bruce Springsteen and the 7 albums?
Oh, yeah.
On a Tracks 2. This is one of the first releases called Rain in the River. And if that's not accurate right now with the flooding on the Merrimack, I don't know what is. It's my final bumper piece of music here. I've already put the list up. If you want to go on Spotify, or actually just go on Twitter, that's where I list the Spotify bumper list. I also put the playlist up there at all. Did any of that make sense?
Yeah, kind of.
Basically, you go to Twitter, the X formerly Twitter, and then I put that list up. We have audio cut of the day coming up here in just a couple of minutes, but we're very hopeful. You know, sometimes you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. In most elections, like if you go back to the general election in the fall, I had no idea. And, you know, if you really pressed me, I felt like things would go well for Trump. But I didn't think he'd win all 7 swing states.
Yeah,
right?
That was a surprise.
But in the city election, it's a little easier to get a gut check on whether Kara Spencer is going to finally get rid of Tashara Jones because of the election from 6 weeks ago. You know, the runoff, it's ridiculous, but the top two finishers have to square off. That's why, even though it was basically just Darlene Green and Donna Behringer, there was another candidate in that race for comptroller, but they didn't get very many votes. But that was a close race. So if you're a city resident and you haven't voted, go out, try to vote for Donna Behringer and Kara Spencer before the night is up, because it might be really, and that's what I said earlier, Sue, it really, the city's on the line here.
It
and
is.
I don't know that Kara can solve all these things, but here's what I do know. Tashara cannot.
That is, I mean, has been proven.
Right. So if I get, I've gotten a lot of people blow back today, it's just another, you're trading one socialist for another. I understand that because I don't think she's on policy. She's not in the right spot on many of these issues, especially moving the city forward. But I do think that returning to the basics, trash, streets,
yes,
you know, crime, you know, we
snow.
Snow, right. Thank you, Ethan. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I'm pretty sure that this mayor will have a lot more focus on compared to the previous mayor. And, you know, this is one of the things I mentioned a couple of times. Kara Spencer, she doesn't care about the national politics stuff.
Oh, no. She's
really
all about here.
So she's not going to go out there and try to make a point
I hope, like Tashara and Sam Page do, where there's things that have no relation to the city of St. Louis, like all this Alphabet Mafia stuff. Now, I'm sure that Kara's going to still raise the flag and all that, blah, blah, blah. But there's so many of these things that have nothing to do with the business of the city, and that kind of nonsense is hopefully going to stop. Now, my only wish for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is, and I hope it happens certainly before the show tomorrow, that Tashara completely loses her you-know-what.
I hope so.
Because I'm going to be disappointed if she doesn't. If she goes quietly, I will not be happy. I'm rooting for the wig to come off.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And on that front, you know, this is interesting because I did see a story about this, and this is what makes me a little uncomfortable because this whole pro-Hamas stuff with the Democrats. I even saw something with Kara Spencer on this. I'll have to look to what it is. But you know, stay away from that, Democrats. I don't see why they think this is a good idea. We had a story where there were some protesters at WashU that are trying to put up a pro-terrorist display, and they were saying, no, we're not going to do this. But this is Chris Cuomo. Remember him? He used to be on CNN. And he's kind of saying things that most people on CNN would never say right now, except for Scott Jennings.
Get rid of the pro-Hamas flying the Palestine flags. That's not where this country is. You can, everybody's got the right to their view, but that your party should not have Palestinian flags and pro-Hamas supporters kind of pari passu with everybody else in your party.
I think he's right about that, but it's amazing how Democrats don't seem to get that. And it's actually quite stunning. And then there's Will Scharf. We love Will because he ran for attorney general here. He's got Missouri roots. He's with the president nearly every day signing executive orders. And there was more of that today.
Come on up.
Mr. President.
Yes. His first one.
We have four items prepared for your signature this afternoon, sir. The first of these executive orders is it may be one of the most significant executive orders of your administration thus far. This directs all departments and agencies of the federal government to end all discriminatory policies against the coal industry. This ends the leasing moratorium that prevents new coal projects.
Yeah,
on
he had a bunch
land.
Of miners right behind him. And then the president said this about Will.
Thank you very much. Great job. He went to Harvard when Harvard was good. It was a while ago.
It was a while ago. All right, we'll end with a song that certainly is very apropos, especially from my neck of the woods out in Valley Park. Rain in the River from Bruce Springsteen. The flooding is a little less severe than we anticipated, which
That's
is good
great.
News. We get that highway open soon enough. Sue, we'll see you tomorrow at 3.
You got it.
Kilmeade's coming up tomorrow.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.